Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2445, with the release date of Friday, September 6, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams assist during deadly floods in Bangladesh. Two special events reflect on key moments in U.S. history. And some electrifying news about honeybees. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2445 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
Our top story takes us to Bangladesh, where one amateur's distress call led to an informal but highly effective network of rescue communicators. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, describes the scene.
In Bangladesh, an informal group of community-based hams mobilized to provide vital communication in the region surrounding Feni district following deadly floods that began on the 19th of August. Hams in the capital city of Dhaka rallied to assist after hearing from a fellow amateur via social media he was trapped by rising water levels with no emergency response in sight. Abdullah Al-Fahad, S21AF, stayed in touch with the amateur and monitored his situation whilst alerting other area hams. He said in an email, and I quote, "We knew we had to act quickly," end quote. Traditional means of communication were down. By the 22nd of August, the team's base station was set up at a 15-story building in Feni and a control room established at the office of Feni's deputy commissioner. There, the first group of amateur radio responders coordinated with the office of the deputy commissioner to help in the deployment of rescue and relief teams. Many hams continued to join the effort, bringing along their own personal equipment so the response network could extend its reach. Stations were set up at two army camps, so the deputy commissioner had communication with both the army and field rescue teams. Fahad said that another base was set up at a scout headquarters in Dhaka and another at his QDH. Over a four-day period, the hams kept communication open across a 70-kilometre radius. It was estimated that they helped bring more than 375 rescue operations to fruition, some in remote areas. With floodwater receding, authorities in Bangladesh have since turned their attention to the spread of waterborne illnesses. Some of the hams moved on to assist the flood situation in Noakhali. Fahad told the website, tbsnews.net, "Even though we weren't under any official banner, just a group of friends doing what we could, we made a real difference." The amateur who had sent out the original distress call to Fahad was rescued after 4 days. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Scientists are hopeful that a Raspberry Pi may be a key component in making underwater communication more effective. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has that story.
A Raspberry Pi is being used as one of the three main components of a modem that is under development by researchers in Italy to make underwater communications more effective and less expensive. As described in a recent article in the IEEE Spectrum, the Raspberry Pi is the modem's base. There is also a sound card hardware attachment which generates and records audio signals. For undersea operations, most modems use acoustical signals instead of radio, because despite the slower rate at which they move, these signals can cover greater distances. Researchers at the University of Padova believe the modem will be a much more affordable alternative for communication with submarines, sensors, or other entities. According to the Spectrum article, current modems typically cost at least $10,000. The researchers Filippo Compagnero and Michel Sorzi are also developing a transducer for conversion of energy into acoustic signals and back again. Their more affordable device is a modification of something typically used to monitor the sounds of marine mammals, and it costs hundreds instead of thousands of US dollars. By making this technology more affordable, the scientists believe its uses can be extended beyond the military or the offshore oil and gas industries into the realms of biodiversity studies and climate change. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
Hams in Pennsylvania and beyond are grieving the loss of a friend who was an advocate for cancer research and cancer patient assistance. We hear about him from Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
A little more than a year ago, Richard Reba, WQ3Q, put out a call to his fellow hams asking for them to join the on-air team for N3P, a special event station to raise awareness and donations for pancreatic cancer research. On Thursday, September 5th, the Skyview Amateur Radio Society issued another call during their 2-meter evening net on Richard's behalf. It was a final call. Richard became a silent key on the 31st of August, 5 years after being diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, the same illness that took the life of his younger brother years earlier. An advocate for supporting research, Richard had been the driving force behind an annual special event station that went on the air throughout the U.S. in conjunction with a Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania walkathon to benefit the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. He was well known for his devotion to radio as a member and former officer of the Skyview Amateur Radio Society and the Breeze Shooters Club of Western Pennsylvania. He recently joined the Southwestern Pennsylvania Skywarn and the community collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. Richard was known as the designer of the QSL card for K2M, the Pennsylvania colony of the annual 13 Colonies Special Event Station for each of the past 4 years. He also had a unique way of identifying himself. Because his call sign contained the character combination Q3Q, he often referred to his QTH as the Shack of Quack. Eddie Mizowitz, KB3YRU, net control for the Skyview Thursday Night Net, said, quote, "His hope and his positive attitude will continue in all of us," end quote. Richard, who had been licensed since 2013, was 74. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Hams are also mourning the loss of the assistant editor of the AMSAT Journal. We hear more about him from Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
As both an editor and contributor, Paul Graveline, K1YUB, began his 7-year tenure as an assistant editor for the AMSAT Journal with the publication of the July-August 2017 issue. His deep involvement with AMSAT included being a member of the CubeSat-SIM educational materials team that is part of AMSAT's educational relations program, using the CubeSat simulator as a learning tool. Paul, who was born in 1947, became a silent key on the 19th of August. His ham radio career had its roots in his activities as an enthusiastic shortwave listener starting in 1960. 3 years later, he became an amateur radio operator with a special interest in CW. His love for shortwave listening was undiminished, and with a friend, he later assisted in the rejuvenation of the listeners group known as the Boston Area DXers. Paul wrote about Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW, for a January-February 2022 cover story in the AMSAT Journal. He was also coordinator for her Super Community Project, which seeks to spread a better understanding of space weather. This is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Some hams in Australia may have already noticed some new fees associated with their call signs. John Williams, VK4JJW, is here to explain them.
Beginning on the 1st of September, hams in Australia will be paying a new fee of $34 for some special types of call signs that have a 12-month assignment period. Those receiving a contest call sign will be charged $15. Those transferring a call sign to another amateur will be charged $15, and hams with a VK9 or VK0 call sign representing Australian external territories are the ones who will pay $34. The ACMA will send these call sign holders a reminder to renew after the 12-month period. Otherwise, the call sign will be made available for reallocation on the registry. Meanwhile, hams having two-letter, three-letter, and F-series call signs are required to confirm active use of their call every 5 years, but there are no longer any annual fees involved. An explanation of the new fees and policy from the Australian Communications and Media Authority can be seen on their website in the Amateur Radio Call Sign Policy document. See the link in the text version of this week's Newsline script. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio News Line, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WB0 QXW repeater, St. Louis, Missouri, following the Monday night net at 7 o'clock Central Time. Two special events are on the air, marking very different occasions in U.S. history. The 2024 Route 66 On the Air special event will be active September 7th through to the 15th, celebrating the highway known as the Mother Road. Listen for 23 one-by-one call signs that begin with W6. From September 8th through to the 12th, hams are marking a more somber moment in history with the K4A special event, commemorating the terror attacks on September 11th, 2001. CQRZ.com for details of both events. New Zealand is taking the first steps in providing digital radio service for its emergency response teams. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, brings us up to date.
A digital radio service for emergency responders has begun its rollout in New Zealand, putting four of the nation's emergency service agencies on the same network for the first time in history. The transmissions on the new land mobile radio network will be used by police, fire and emergency, Wellington Free Ambulance and Hātāhone St John Ambulance. The push-to-talk transmissions will be fully encrypted. The rollout of the LMR network will begin in Canterbury, Wellington and Auckland in 2025, and the goal is to ultimately serve 11 regions across New Zealand by 2026. LMR becomes part of the public safety network, joining cellular roaming, which has been in service for the responders since July 2023. The Public Safety Network is spending 10 years and $1.4 billion to bring new devices into play for emergency response. The announcement by Internal Affairs Minister Brooke Van Velden did not mention other emergency responders such as Landsar, the Coast Guard or Civil Defence. According to Next Generation Critical Communications, which is developing New Zealand's public safety network, there is room for other government agencies to come on board later. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
If you're looking to upgrade your license or to simply make a start as a technician, a new online resource has become available, and it's free. We hear the details from Stephen Kenford, N8WB.
Hopeful candidates for the U.S. Technician and General Amateur Radio licenses can now turn to a free self-paced study guide being made available on the educational platform known as SuperKNOVA. The courses were developed by the National Radio Astronomy Observatory with the help of a grant from Amateur Radio Digital Communications. Both the technician course and the upgrade to general class focus heavily on fundamentals of the electromagnetic spectrum and the basics of radio waves and propagation. The observatory said that this makes the material valuable for those in disciplines outside amateur radio too, such as individuals involved in science, technology, engineering, and math careers. The coursework makes use of licensed study materials from the ARRL. Jesse Alexander, WB2IFS, the project instructor, said in a press release that, quote, "This is a great opportunity to share amateur radio with a new generation of potential ham radio enthusiasts. We've designed this course to introduce learners to the electromagnetic spectrum while developing radio skills and knowledge," end quote. This is Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
In the world of DX, be listening for Cole, MM0NDX, and Steve, MM0SAJ, using the call sign 3A/MM0NDX and 3A/MM0SAJ from Monaco until the 9th of September. They are focusing on the low bands during their evening hours and on 6 meters. QSL both calls via EB7DX and LOTW. Mikkel, IZ8PWN, is active holiday style as 8Q7WN from the Maldives, IOTA number AS013, through to the 13th of September using SSB and FT8 on 40 through 10 meters. QSL via I8 KHC. Greg, N9GB, will be active holiday style as J3/N9GB from Granada through the 10th of September using CW and SSB on 40 through 10 meters and some operation on 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. A team of operators using the call sign EJ7NET, namely EI3HA, EI3ISB, EI5KO, EI6FR, and EI9JF, will be on the air from the 7th through to the 11th of September from Inishmore, Aran Islands, IOTA number EU006. They'll be using CW, SSB, and FT8 on the HF bands, QSL direct to EI6FR. For our final story, the buzzword is electricity. And it really, really is the buzzword. As we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The University of Bristol's Botanic Garden in Stoke Bishop was all abuzz with bees on the 24th and 25th of August, as visitors learned about the importance bees have as pollinators and agents of change in the overall environment. It was not so long ago, though, that the university's researchers made a sweet and surprising discovery about something else. They found that swarms of honeybees are capable of generating electrical charges in the atmosphere to rival those of thunderstorm clouds. In fact, the more dense the swarm, the bigger the electrical charge. The scientists recorded currents from swarms passing over a campus field station during 3-minute intervals. They recorded as many as 1,000 volts per meter. The research was published nearly 2 years ago in the Smithsonian magazine and the journal iScience. Don't get too excited about applying bee power to any amateur radio operation going portable in the vicinity of an apiary. According to an article in the magazine Popular Science, 50 billion bees would be needed to provide power to an LED light. That means that even the smallest of the small rigs could not possibly even hope to get on the air operating QRB. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Don't forget the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. If you're not too busy tuning your antennas or chasing the latest de-expedition, pick up a pencil and share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your 3-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Abdullah Al-Fahad, S21AF, Amateur Radio Weekly, Amateur Radio Digital Communications, AMSAT News, ARRL, Australian Communications and Media Authority, David Bayar, K7DB, Eddie Mizowitz, KB3YRU, 425DX News, IEEE, India Today, Next Generation Critical Communications, NZNet Newsletter, PlanetB.org, QRZ.com, Smithsonian Magazine, TBT Newsnet, shortwaveradio.de, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024, all rights reserved.